This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Ted Sarensky of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. You can learn more about their financial literacy program at 360financialliteracy.org. Throughout the latest developments in the healthcare debate, we've heard a lot of talk about what's going to happen in terms of care at the end of life. Some of the talk has been about consultation for seniors so they can have all their financial affairs in order whenever that time comes. And that's what Ted joins us to talk about today, the importance of what's known as the living will. And Ted, thanks so much for being with us.
Certainly, Greg. Thank you for having me.
Well, most people have heard of this term. It's come up in other major news stories, including the Terri Schiavo story a few years back. Everyone's pretty clear on what a regular will is. That's where you dictate where you want your assets to go after you die. But explain for folks real quickly what a living will is.
Greg, a living will is a way to tell folks, if you're incapacitated, what you would like to have happen to you. For instance, that you don't want to be put on life support to keep yourself alive, or you don't want certain medical procedures. You can dictate how you would like your life to be handled at the end of life when you aren't able to make those decisions yourself.
How specific should you get on those things? Because in some ways, you may need life support for a brief time if you have the potential for recovery, and other times it could be a very protracted length of time. So how detailed should you get in terms of your end-of-life wishes?
Greg, you should get pretty detailed because you have the living will, which says, what do I want to do? And you want to get real detailed because you also have a healthcare proxy, which puts someone else in charge of your medical decisions if you're not able to make them. So if you're not really specific with the types of things you want to have happen, then the person who is in charge of your healthcare proxy may make decisions that you don't want. For instance, I mentioned life support, so your question is very good to say, how long do I want to be on life support if life support is put on? Sometimes that does happen because someone might be put on life support before they know that there is a living will. And once you've been put on life support, they can't just take you off it. So you have a very good point there to say that maybe we got to look at, do I want to be on for a couple days? And then if there's no hope, then take me off life support. So you do want to get very specific.
What else is involved in a living will besides potential life support or non-life support treatment?
Well, certain medications that you may not, that, again, you're not able to make these decisions yourself, so someone else is making them for you. Different medications that you might need, operations or treatments of, do we do open heart surgery or do we do some major cancer surgery or whatever the surgeries might be. If you're not able to make those decisions, you know, how extensive do you want that care at the end of life to be for yourself?
How complicated is it to put together a living will?
I think it's really not that complicated. If folks go in to make a regular will, as you mentioned before, they can just make the living will as well. Attorneys are very familiar with this, so they'll have a checklist to say, do you want this, do you not want that? And they'll run through this checklist with folks to say yes or no to a lot of these items so that we can identify what it is or what you do not want to do at the end of life.
In addition to going through that with your lawyer, who else should know what you've agreed to and not agreed to in terms of that living will?
Well, I mentioned before a healthcare proxy. You, as an individual, would name someone as executor of your will. You'd also name someone to be your healthcare proxy. So any decisions that are going to be made by that person, you want that person to be aware that you have these documents as executor, as healthcare proxy, as a trustee or executor of a trust, that you know that person knows what your wishes are.
Ted, do you have any stories about folks that didn't take this step and then ended up in some pretty complicated and difficult decision makings because they didn't know what the wishes of their loved ones were?
I don't have any specific personal stories, but I do know there are situations out there where you mentioned the Terri Schiavo case where a living will was discovered later, but then there was questions as to, was it valid? Was it done properly? Did they have to go by the directives of that living will? So making everyone aware is certainly very important, because once decisions are made without knowledge of that living will or without knowledge of a healthcare proxy, then they're irreversible. The medical community is not allowed to do things unless they are specifically directed by the person who's incapacitated.
Ted, this goes probably a little bit away from the medical aspect of the living will, but what about getting finances in order before the end of life comes? You never know when that's going to be, so it's good to have them in order all the time. But what are the key steps to follow in that side of things?
Well, a key step along with the couple of things we've mentioned already is a durable power of attorney. And what that is you're appointing someone to take care of your financial affairs should you become incapacitated. Another good thing for folks to do is to have a notebook where they outline where they have bank accounts, where they have investment accounts, where a safe deposit box might be, where are these documents like a will, the living will, the healthcare proxy, those kinds of documents, where are they located so someone can easily find them, and make your family aware that you have this notebook where they can find the important papers that they're going to need to find to help you through whatever crisis it might be.
We're talking with Ted Sarensky of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. And Ted, I mentioned at the outset that your organization is promoting financial literacy across the board. In fact, your website is 360financialliteracy.org. What will folks find there in addition to what we've already discussed?
Greg, on that site, there is I'll call it a wheel, where each of the spokes represents different portions of your life from birth to death. And you can click on any of those spokes and find out good information about what you might be doing, for instance, when you first go to college, or how to save for college before you even get there, what to do in marriage, how to buy a home, what to do in a divorce situation. So many things across your life from beginning to end that gives you good guidance. It has some calculators in there, for instance, for retirement planning or planning to save for college. So there's a lot of good tools and free information available for folks to bone up on a lot of these things.
Ted, very good information. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the time.
Ted Sarensky of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Again, head to their website, 360financialliteracy.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.